The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kubale Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. Let's wake up in the den. Alongside Paul Brecht, I am Kuule Ogbayani. How's everyone doing today? I hope you guys are having a good day. Fortunately, I mean, it's so weird that the roads are like clear. I totally forgot that it was spring break this week. Well, for most public schools, that is. And I'm just like cruising through the roads. Feels nice. That's the only time it hits me that it's some kind of break in school, because we work in sports, so it's like the job never stops and we don't have kids. So I never really know when the break time is, but nonetheless, it's a beautiful day outside. So I hope you guys are having a fabulous beginning to your week. I still, admittedly, I am recovering from Las Vegas, which is really weird because I was only there for a little while and I didn't like go crazy like usual. But I don't know. Maybe
like
it's just
usual makes me laugh.
I mean, it's Vegas, baby.
It's Vegas.
But I realize I am still recovering because I forgot to put my watch on today. And I feel really, really naked.
I was going to say, that would make me feel so incredible. I've turned around before when I leave in the morning for the studio. I've gotten like 5 minutes down the road and I'm like, oh my God, I don't have my Apple Watch on.
I 100%
get that. You said Vegas, baby. And before we go forward, I know Mama Heather's going to listen to this. I was looking for a picture from childhood where Section 4 championship of me and four of my friends last night. Couldn't find it. Reference Vegas, baby. That's how it all ties together. So it's funny because now I live here in Hawaii, in Vegas, obviously the ninth island. So I always think back to that memory. It was actually like right around this time, because it's during a St. Patrick's Day parade down in Binghamton, New York, for either the section title games or state title games or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, we little kids from this tiny town in upstate New York, the center of the state, not the city, shouted out Vegas, baby, outside the windows because there were like 100 people in the streets because it was a St. Practice Day like celebration. Total tangent, but I heard Vegas, baby, and I was like, oh my God,
that
was literally last
something.
Night. So anyway, you're still recovering. Clearly my brain is always recovering.
Yeah, I'm not one of the cool kids. I do not have an Apple Watch. Ooh. I rock Casio because I am even cooler than all of you guys. So I only rock a Casio, and it's just kind of the lifeline, and I don't have it. And it's funny because it's not like I actually use it to look at the time most of the time,
it's just there.
I have that. And then one of my newest things I wear on my wrist is like one of those rubber band things that we got from my Uncle Pat's celebration. So I wear my watch and that, and I always put it on in the morning, and I don't have it. So bear with me if we get a little weird today, because I am clearly off balance with not having my watch on.
Our chakra is off. You know?
I know. It's just the vibes. But never know. It's spring break, so we're going through the darn thing. All right. Coming up on the show, we will definitely get into more March Madness action, go through more of the brackets. I filled out a bracket, kind of, but I just went through it. I haven't dove into it completely yet, but we will talk about the different regions, who we think. We kind of gave our really, really quick picks yesterday to end the show on who we think is going to win it all for the men's and the women's side. So we will go more in depth coming up a little later in this show. Also, maybe bring back a little, you know, men's basketball talk, because we alluded to it yesterday, men's basketball talk, that is, about just recruiting trails, some guys in the transfer portal, not from our team, but other teams in the transfer portal, and all of those things we didn't tell the beautiful people, including someone from the Chaminade men's basketball team, who was a very good player that has entered the transfer portal as well. And we'll see where he could potentially end up. But a lot of college basketball stuff coming up on this show. And of course, throughout the rest of the week leading up to Thursday, we do have our bracket group set up via ESPN.com. So if you guys want to play for some bragging rights against Paul and I, who will have perfect brackets. So you guys will, you're going to lose anyways. But
yeah, I mean,
irregardless,
I want you to try. I just know that my bracket is already perfect.
Yeah, irregardless, we'll have myself, Paul, Michael Escaro. We'll see if Alan and AC jump in. We will have Monty and Ernie from the Sports Rivals podcast. And actually, it was Ernie who won and got the bragging rights last week because he was the only one in our group to pick UConn to win it all last year. So shout out to Ernie. I want to see if he can defend his March Madness title. I know like Billy Hall was in that group. So we'll put it up there. You can search for Hawaii Sports Radio and the password is KGU. So very easy. Didn't want to make it too complicated, but wanted to keep out like just random riffraff people to come in because we don't want to just give strangers bragging rights on our show.
We want somebody from the beautifulest of all the beautiful people to win.
Or at least following us on social media. So we'll post a link on social media, but if you already have something on ESPN, then go search for Hawaii Sports Radio, password KGU, or you can text us at 808-888-KGU1, 808-888-5481 if you are driving and you forget, and then we'll send you all the information because, yeah, come and play along with us. Okay, but before we get into more college basketball talk, we definitely want to start off with some NFL because there are still stuff going, rocking and a rolling. We are about just over a month away from the NFL draft. It's going to be up here in no time, and I can't believe I did not bring this up yesterday. The biggest news that happened over the weekend with the NFL is that the Bears traded quarterback Justin Fields to the Steelers for a 2025 sixth rounder. And this was interesting because it's a 2025 conditional sixth round draft pick, which the pick could become a fourth round pick based on playing time. And we talked about, oh, you know, who will the Bears trade him to, because he is, Paul and I share the same sentiment about Justin Fields, is that he is a very, very good quarterback that will serve a team very well and fill a lot of holes that many teams could have had. We were speculating, and a lot of the national guys are speculating, potentially ending up in Atlanta, but now, you know, Kirk Cousins is over there. And this was interesting considering the Bears got so little for what his talents are. They also have Russell Wilson that's there only under contract for a year in Pittsburgh. But it's credit to Ryan Poles, I must say, their general manager right now. He had mentioned that he wanted to do it. If he did a trade, it would be something that was good for the Bears and also good for Justin Fields. And I took that with a grain of salt about when they say it's good for Justin Fields, because yeah, that's the business they live in. The teams are going to look out for the teams, and that's, again, that's the business. That's what they got to do. That's what the GM has to do. But to see this trade and to see where Justin ended up, a place where he could learn from a veteran quarterback, someone that, you know, is definitely physically out of his prime but very much knows the game, won a Super Bowl, and by all accounts seemed like he's a good dude that would be willing to teach an up-and-comer like Justin Fields. So putting him with Russell Wilson, Mike Tomlin, who we talk about, one of the best coaches in the NFL, not just currently, but ever. And we've seen that he can be a very good player's coach. And for Justin Fields to end up in Pittsburgh behind Russell Wilson, because Russell Wilson is already touted as the starter, but the potential is there where Justin Fields could easily slide in there, maybe not this year, maybe midway through this season, but definitely next season, and be ready to be a true starter because he didn't have the right situation in Chicago. And I just thought that was really big of Ryan Poles to mean what he said, and that he was looking out for Justin Fields and the situation to put him somewhere that was good for him, and not necessarily, he could have gotten a lot more for the talent that Justin is, the needs that a lot of teams have for a good dual threat quarterback. But I mean, shout out. I'm a little bummed. Ironically, when this news broke, I was... Why am I...
You're always
I just
on
thought about
flights,
it. No. I just thought about it. Twice when the news came out about these Steelers quarterbacks, I was literally with Olivia Austin.
Oh, that's true, too.
You know, host of our Hawaii Players Pod presented by Hawaii Pacific Health. But I was with her at the men's volleyball game when the news about Russell Wilson broke. And then I was with her in Las Vegas. Like, we were having a couple of drinks together. And I saw the alert about Justin Fields, and I told her, I was like, oh my goodness, now you guys are getting Justin Fields. And she like just about screamed. I think people like thought something was wrong. We were in the middle of Aria and she was like, oh my gosh. And but now that I think about it, I was like, wow. Oh. There's a lot of stuff.
Clearly, when you guys
clearly
hang out.
It happens for her team though. What yeah. about my team?
Hey, Ryan Poles has been wheeling and dealing for plenty of been. Ways because you know he trades Justin Fields. He also traded for Keenan Allen, got a fourth round or traded a fourth round pick away. And
yeah.
something I do want to bring up about that Justin Fields trade is it is a sixth round pick next year that can turn up to a fourth round pick in or if Justin plays 51% of the snaps this season for the Steelers. This is a move for Pittsburgh that I really like for a couple of reasons. You laid it out well where Russell Wilson's a guy that I like personally in terms of he's had success in the league. He's a guy who's been a dual threat quarterback and done it at a high level. And it's also a place where Justin can go and compete for the job. I know the Steelers have said that it's or the Steelers have leaked out rumors, I guess, that it's Russ's job and he's going to be the guy. And we're in rumor season right now. They're just going to throw things to throw things. Mike Tomlin will do what is ever best for the team. Mike Tomlin also has a lot of connections back to Ohio State, so it wouldn't surprise me if the Steelers have liked Justin for a long time. Gives him an opportunity to, like you said, go learn, go to a place where, I mean, just realistically, he has some of the best infrastructure he's had going into a season in a coach who's been there for a long time, some legitimate weapons behind him. And a defense that is quality. This is a team that made the playoffs last year. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a good place for him to end up. I do think the Bears did well in terms of getting compensation back. It was always going to be hard to get a big package for this because, I mean, you look at what the Patriots just got for Mac Jones, and obviously Justin Fields better than Mac Jones and whatnot, and we can go down that whole rabbit hole, but Mac Jones getting traded first was always going to set the market. Mac had a nice rookie season. He also went to the playoffs and then kind of fell off a cliff a bit. But with that said, he was still a former first-round pick. He was a guy who had starting quarterback potential, and he went for a sixth. Just a straight sixth. Bears have an opportunity to potentially get a fourth-round pick. And like you said, Ryan Poles sticks by his word, does right by Justin, trades him before the draft as mm-hmm. well, which is big because we talk about all these landing spots for a quarterback and they were quickly starting to dry up. And I think the Jets might have been now left without a seat at the table to trade Zach Wilson. So they True. Might have to just kind of bite the bullet and cut him there, which is not exactly what you want to do to a former number two pick. Goodness, I couldn't say that.
This is good for the Steelers leading into the draft because now, you know, it can change your strategy entirely knowing that you don't necessarily need a quarterback right away. Because
you have a young guy who you can try and develop as well. You have a Russell Wilson who, if you want to go and take him and have a year with him, you can sit Justin for a year. It's an expensive extra pickup of the fifth year option. But also, guess what? It's better than having to go down and do it all over again. Also, Justin Fields is better than Kenny Pickett. Just straight up. He's better, in my opinion, better than Kenny Pickett.
100%. Kenny Pickett, by the way, to the Eagles. Yes. They traded him to the Eagles in case any of our Steelers fans missed that.
And it's just, and no disrespect to Kenny Pickett and his small hands, but he's a backup quarterback to me. Whereas now the Steelers have
like
two
Mitch
guys.
Trubisky.
Exactly. The Steelers have two guys who can actually start at the quarterback position in Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Whereas last year they employed three backups. Like Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, and Mitch Trubisky are three backup NFL quarterbacks. And that's fine to have one or two on your roster. You can't have your starting quarterback and all three options be that. Steelers have done a nice job reforming the quarterback room. The Bears did a nice job setting up what is now a beautiful situation for a rookie quarterback to come on in. Yeah, everybody I think knows who I believe is going to be the number one overall pick, but there have obviously been rumors that that's not set in stone either. So I like what the Bears have done. I also like what the Steelers did with it overall. A good kind of win-win trade for low risk on both sides.
Yeah, and again, we are still over a month away from the draft. It will sneak up on us in no time. Nonetheless, the Steelers doing good things. So I know we have a lot of Steelers fans here in Hawaii. So liking what they're doing. Ryan Poles has so far so good in terms of as a new and a young general manager taking over for Ryan Pace, who completely destroyed the Chicago Bears. And it was, we were, us Chicago Bears fans were just plain miserable with the way that he managed the team and managed the draft and picks and all that jazz. But when we come back, we will continue our NFL discussion and a couple of other headlines that broke this morning. Josh Dobbs signing with the 49ers, Chase Young to sign with the Saints. I think this came out yesterday or the other day, but the NFL penalized the 49ers draft position, a 2025 pick due to an accounting error. And then, as we just mentioned, Kenny Pickett was traded to the Eagles on Friday. So, bunch of stuff. So, we will continue our NFL discussion when we come back on Wake Up in the Den.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kupule Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Holding me back. Gravity's holding me back. I want you to hold out the palm of your hand. Why don't we leave it at that?
It's Wake Up in the Den, Kupule Ogbayani and Paul Brecht. Starting off this Tuesday, what has felt like for maybe the last 4 weeks or so, NFL Tuesday. There will be a lot of college basketball to get through throughout this entire week, really, as March Madness is here. But there's a lot of stuff going on in the NFL as we get ready and gear up for the NFL draft coming up at the end of next month. As I mentioned earlier, unfortunately for our 49ers fans, this was interesting. This is something I've never, ever seen in headlines before, but the 49ers are being penalized draft position in the fourth round of the 2024 NFL draft and will forfeit a fifth round pick in 2025 after the league discovered administrative payroll accounting errors that resulted in a misreporting of their cumulative player compensation, is what the league announced yesterday. The accounting errors in question were from the close of the 2022 league year. The 49ers said in a statement, quote, "We take responsibility and accept the imposed discipline from the NFL due to a clerical payroll error. At no time did we mislead or otherwise deceive the league or gain a competitive advantage in connection with the payroll mistake." So that was pretty interesting. I mean, obviously, somebody messed up. Poor person probably ends up getting fired, unfortunately. That's the business that they live in. But they took responsibility, and now that's what happens. But I just thought that was an interesting little news headline to share with everybody, because it was something, like I said, I've never seen before, where they mess up some kind of clerical error, which results in it heavily affecting the draft, including this year and the following year. So, taking a look at some of the, via The Athletic, the NFL Power Rankings post-free agency. I love the title because it says, the Texans are going for it. The Cowboys are not. As we mentioned,
yeah,
they haven't really done much. I mean, we kind of joked that for when everything first started that the Jets weren't really doing anything. But if there definitely is one team that hasn't done anything, it would definitely be the Dallas Cowboys. So via The Athletic, they have the Chiefs sitting on top of the power rankings at one, with the notable addition in Marquise Brown. Notable losses, so replacing one of their wide receivers, Marquise Valdes-Scantley, Tommy Townsend, Nick and offensive lineman Nick Allegretti, but Super Bowl champ's going to Super Bowl champ, nope, essentially. But we'll see. Now, bringing to the 49ers, The Athletic does have them still post-free agency number two in the power rankings. Notable losses, Arik Armstead, Chase Young, which, again, we mentioned, signed with the Saints. So, that's right. What was his compensation again? It was something crazy. So, he signed with the New Orleans Saints, a one-year deal worth $13 million guaranteed. Ooh, that's not a bad for 1 year.
Get your bag.
But as we mentioned, a lot of teams really, I mean, as we see, you know, a player on the defensive end like Aaron Donald, who has just been a monster and a force. I know you guys talked about that extensively as the news broke on Friday morning with our resident Rams fan, Michael Lescarrell. I think I broke the news to him because I texted. I was like, oh, Michael, did you see this?
Just wanted to give him a hug.
Aaron Donald no longer with the Los Angeles Rams, but a lot of the defensive players, we talked about a few weeks ago how the running back market has been on the decline, but defense getting paid, guys in the trenches getting paid as they should. So Chase Young, 1 year, $13 million guaranteed, going over to the New Orleans Saints, number two pick in the 2020 NFL draft and spent his 4.5 seasons with the Washington Commanders. I saw it come across. What did he say?
We did not talk enough about it, and that's true. I think I asked him when he walked in, and that was about it.
How did you guys not talk about it to the beautiful people?
We were focused on Rainbow Warrior and Wahine basketball coup. Also, Chase Young said that he wanted to be part of a winning culture, and the Saints, like, winning culture, blah, 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 was, like, what drew him. Saints are 25 and 26 over the past three seasons, or two seasons, or whatever. They're as not a winning culture. He was just in a winning culture with the 49ers.
Yeah.
Why do players just say things just to say things sometimes?
Yeah.
Like, I get
because
it.
He never lived up to the expectation that the winning structure or culture in San Fran, yeah, that he never felt like he was at the top of the most important players there in San Francisco. So he's like, I'm going to go to this winning culture so that I can be the guy at this other place.
Yeah, well, good luck to him. Winning culture is a game under 500 for a guy who's been with the Commanders his whole career until this past year. So, no, I didn't want to. That's a wild stray to toss towards him. But I read that and I was like,
yeah, like, wait a minute.
I'm like, now wait a second here. We're talking about a team that's made the Super Bowl two times out of the last three seasons,
although,
or four seasons.
Although you pay me $13 million guaranteed for 1 year, I will talk about your team like it just won the Super Bowl, baby.
Listen, I am not. He should talk about his employer sparkling in a way that if you gave me $13 million for 365 days of work, less than that, I would sing your praises and sparkle your shoes.
I love that. Sparkle your shoes.
It's just the truth.
Oh, man. But still, nonetheless, without Chase Young in this power ranking, the San Francisco 49ers post-Super Bowl still power ranked at number two and post-free agency at number two. And as we mentioned earlier, but they're the favorite to win the Super Bowl next year because on paper, they are still definitely the best team, but you can never count out the darn Kansas City Chiefs. The Detroit Lions at three. Houston Texans is the fascinating one. This is the one I was bummed, you guys. I'm so sad. I just didn't have time to make it down to the sports books / but I don't have time. I just had...
Didn't make time.
Yeah, because the bed was just too comfy in the hotel room, so I just didn't make time until we had to get ready and get our move on to go to the games and go to eat and stuff. So, but the Houston Texans are the fascinating one. Post-Super Bowl rank at five, post-free agency rank at four. Notable additions, Danielle Hunter was probably the big one, the edge rusher, Denico Autry, running back Joe Mixon. But they're just going to be fascinating. And you know what kills me about them is that they're just getting this amazing quarterback in CJ Stroud on his rookie contract.
Boy, it kills you. Cool. They did the exact same thing that the New York Jets did, just better. They hired the defensive coordinator from the 49ers. They drafted a quarterback second overall and they made the playoffs in year freaking one. It drives me nuts. It drives me nuts. They also won Offensive and Defensive Rookie of the Year last year. They literally stole the whole Jets bar for bar, flow for flow, except they did it better. They did it better. And now they're going for it, which they should, because you're right. They have a stud quarterback on a rookie deal, and it rocks for them. D'Amico Ryans is a great coach.
Yes.
Probably got snubbed for Coach of the Year this year in the NFL. Don't want to take anything away from Kevin Stefanski, who led the corpse of the Jets roster, the corpse of the Browns roster. Yeah. A lot of times there were a ton of injuries for Cleveland this year, and they just kept on pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. So nothing want to take away from Stefanski. D'Amico Ryans probably should have been your coach of the year this year in his first
100%.
Year alongside the rookie of the year on both sides of the football, making the playoffs, and now they're continuing to invest in it. I'm very happy for Texans fans. Don't let my tone take anything away from your happiness. But,
although it must pain our Dallas Cowboys fans. It must pain the actual fans that are like diehards in the state of Texas just because it's so split and all the Dallas people are just like completely flabbergasted right now with how well Houston is doing. And again, all the moves that they continue to make, and yet Dallas just wants to like sit on their hands and just talk about how they're going to give Dak Prescott an extension. Like it's ridiculous. I don't know what they're doing in Dallas, and it's unfortunate to see because they are a team that draws in terms of viewership. They're the most popular team. They're the most richest franchise in the world. And yet they just want to continue to just do nothing while the little brother in Houston just continues
they
to...
They continue to fly by. Yeah. I mean, Jerry said that, oh, we're going all in. Like, this is... Or we're you know, this is an all-in year or something along those lines. Like, he said something about that at either the combine or a little before the combine. And everyone thought that was going to be like, oh, they're going to sign Derrick Henry. They're going to go all in. They're going to actually go for it. No. And Rich Eisen, I think, is the one who ended up reporting, or maybe not reporting is the wrong word, heard this rumor and shared the rumor, was that Jerry Jones's idea of all in was going to let Dak Prescott play out this year, the final year of his contract, without an extension, and say, here's the same exact team from last year with little bargain buys on the margins. If you don't win games, see ya, buddy. And what the Cowboys are doing,
or lack thereof.
It's been a baffling offseason in Dallas. And like you said, feel bad for our friends who are Cowboys fans, because it feels like there is a lack of direction right now. And that is always the scariest place to be when you're a fan of a team.
It's funny. What was the last thing I wanted to bring up? Oh, yeah, over here. That's what I forgot to mention with the San Francisco 49ers, because at least this breakdown of the power rankings, notable losses for the San Francisco 49ers. Quarterback Sam Darnold.
Yep.
I wanted to bring that up for our Paul Brecht over here, that was they had that as a notable loss for the 49ers.
Yeah, because he's better than Brock Purdy. Cry about it. Anyone who wants to argue with me, cry about it. Sorry.
I just love how you will continue to defend even the former. Like, you defend Sam Darnold way more than I will ever defend Mitch Trubisky. And it's not even Mitch's fault. Like, it's, again, Ryan Pace's fault for that horrendous trade that he had to come over to the Chicago Bears. But I love that you will go down swinging for Sam Darnold.
Forever, 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 Sam Darnold will be my guy. I want him to succeed so badly. It's like, it's almost gross. But listen... that we are fanatics sometimes when it comes to sports. It's where the word fan comes from.
Oh, yeah.
So I will continue to cape for Sam, especially just because I root for good people. He's a good person. He's continued to bide his time. Plus, he's finally in a good position in Minnesota. So your comeback player of the year this year, Sam Darnold, you're welcome, because you don't have to come back from anything but, I guess, playing for the Jets.
Gosh. Oh, where are our teams in this? All right, so Michael's team is 11th in the power rankings. Post-Super Bowl, they were 12.
Will be at like 21. That's
my scrolling.
Guess.
My Tua Tagovailoa and the Dolphins are at 13.
Maybe 18.
Oh, the Jets are at 15.
Really?
Moved up a couple spots. Post-Super Bowl rank was 17, and now post-free agency at 15.
Okay, yeah, I mean,
15.
They signed Tyron Smith and traded
John
for
Simpson,
Morgan Moses.
Javon Kinlaw.
Yeah.
And Tyrod Taylor, of course. So that was a big one.
I mean, overall, the Jets have had actually a pretty quality free agency, albeit with just a few moves. But they've reset the entire offensive line, three new starters for less than $20 million guaranteed this next year. So a really nice job by Joe Douglas. And like you said, Tyrod Taylor, we finally have a backup quarterback who is competent. Just that's the best word that I can put for it. Tyrod Taylor's career marks in the Jets franchise history would be top five in like seven different categories. So take that as you will.
I was making a sad face as I kept scrolling because I had to keep going because the Chicago Bears are all the way at 23. But right ahead,
it's not bad.
It's not bad, but right ahead of them were the Pittsburgh Steelers, who we talked about earlier with that with Justin Fields going there. And yeah, when you looked, I'm actually kind of surprised that they moved back. So post-Super Bowl, they were 19, and then they moved back in post-free agency to 22, considering that they cleared their quarterback room, as we were talking about earlier, with Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph, but shoring it up with a veteran like Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, also linebacker Patrick Queen, cornerback Dante Jackson, and safety Deshaun Elliott. So more on the defensive side. So I'm kind of surprised that they're ranked this low in the power rankings. But as always, this is always just speculation until
throwing pasta at a wall and seeing what'll
post-draft. And then we'll see what shows up on the football field come the fall. But that was interesting. And I didn't realize, I always forget that they added to their defense like that. So Hey, shout out Pittsburgh and my poor Chicago Bears at the end. But you know what? We're going to be right up there when we get Caleb Williams, number one overall in the NFL draft.
I am going to do so many victory laps when he's actually drafted.
I'm going to be so obnoxious.
Just because I'm so sick of people being like, oh, he needs to pull an Eli. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Like, all that stuff has driven me crazy. I'll go on a rant about it some other day, I'm sure. But it just, it is the most set in stone. It's been set in stone since the Bears got the first overall pick. So, whatever. The Bears are in a good spot. I'm happy for you, my friend. I pray to God the Jets win a Super Bowl in the next 2 years. Because if they don't, oh, my God.
Do you know that Friday show will be like death? If they don't draft him, I will be the most upset person ever.
I will play therapist.
We may not be sunshine and rainbows in the studio for once if they, even if it's Jaden Daniels, and I know people and the ex, quote unquote experts will be like, oh, say all these things about Jaden Daniels being number one, blah, blah, blah. I will still be miserable and a wreck if it is not Caleb Williams. Unless after I go through all the PFF stuff and really dive into all of it, and then maybe it sways me a little bit and watch some highlights, but
it won't.
As it stands right now, I'm like, it better be Caleb Williams.
There is one person on this earth who can do the things Caleb Williams can do, and he just won back-to-back Super Bowls, so.
Thank you. All right, on that note, we're way past the break. Oh my gosh, like way past the break. Whoopsie! We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760. Shooting star leaping through the sky like a tiger, defying the
laws of gravity. I'm a racing car. Welcome back to all of you, the beautifulest of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. Alongside Paul Brecht, I'm Kuule Agbayani. Don't stop us now. Hi!
Us talking about the NFL. Don't stop us.
Yeah. Supersonic, NFL to you. I can go on and on.
Because it's a banger of a song.
These poor people. I hope I'm not hurting their ears with my singing.
They're singing along
everyone.
With you. Let's be real here. All the beautiful people are singing too.
Again, I'm Filipino, so the singing just comes naturally. It's karaoke all the time. There's a microphone in front of me, so at any given moment, the songs can come out because it's karaoke every time.
What's my excuse then? Because I am certainly not.
I don't know. Now you're
vibes.
Surrounded by two Filipinos on this our full-time
exactly.
staff. So
shout
you're,
out
you're,
to
Michael you're Filipino by association now.
I can live with that. I'm happy with that. Happy to just be a part of it.
And this, we're the best kind. We're from Waipahu. So no offense to our friend, our neighbors here in Kalihi, but shout out.
God, I love it.
Oh,
having
hilarious.
A good time.
Yes, having a good time, as always, here on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network. That's what we do. That's why we enjoy what we do, and we're always out and about. It's funny because we were talking about this a little bit yesterday, right? We're like, oh, wow, it feels weird that, you know, because UH men's basketball and, of course, HPU basketball has come to an end, which is like really took up a lot of our weeks, so we just have UH women's basketball to follow, and of course March Madness, but for the most part our actual physical work that we do here, we're like, all right, so it's almost like this week, like, wow. And I told the guys, I was like, oh, just, you know, trust, we're gonna pick it up, because we're gonna be a lot of, I mean, there's still UH men's volleyball to follow, and then of course high school softball, baseball, boys volleyball, but we're going to start wrapping up next week, but it does feel like a weird dip, not like anticipating, all right, we have to, you know, I mean, yesterday, of course, we closed out the UH men's basketball season, but we're like, wow, there's no like, oh, there's this game on Thursday. There's this game on Saturday. There's HPU. There's UH. There's Chaminade. And
well,
it's
that's
like,
the thing, right? You go from a time in February where it feels like you're covering 7 to 8 different teams at a time.
Yeah.
And I say feels that way because I think it might have actually been more now that I sit here and think about it. Because you do have to remember, we do cover both Rainbow Warrior and Wahine sports. We cover HPU men's and women's sports, baseball and softball for both HPU and for UH. We cover, like, we get a little bit of everything alongside men's volleyball, men's and women's basketball, so on and so forth. So it was pushing about 10 or 11 different teams at a time,
gotta
not to mention,
it.
like actual high school coverage and whatnot as well. So it's funny to be like, oh yeah, you know, it feels super slow because it's not like there's no sports, right? There's still like four or five sports that we're covering, like you just mentioned. It's just, it's not double that, and we're just like, oh man, what am I going to do with all this extra time to think?
We still got more, and we're going to bring you a lot more because there's not as many sports to cover via college. We're going to bring you guys a lot more high school baseball, softball, and boys volleyball over the next month before they get into the championships. I believe boys volleyball championships are May 1st. It's on a Wednesday. That's for OIA. And then baseball, softball are like April 27th, 28th. So up until then, I mean, we'll try to bring you as many regular season high school OIA games that we can. So we're going to rock and we're rocking and rolling on top of all of our HBU stuff. But we appreciate all of you guys that come along for the ride. And in case it doesn't, you know, you only listen to the show, just a reminder that we have a ton of stuff that you can get via our social media at High Sports Radio or at HawaiiSportsRadio.com. A lot of write-ups and photos that are done by Paul Brecht and Michael Lascaro. We have our YouTube channel that you can get a lot of cool stuff as well. Shout out to our 309 subscribers.
You guys continue. Look at you. Like, we not jokingly, but we always are like, oh, like and subscribe. You guys do. Like, we appreciate you for all of the things that you do, especially because, like we say, it doesn't cost you anything, but it helps us out immensely. And man, I wish you guys could see every time Koo and I check the subscribers and it's like two or three more, we throw a little dance party of our own back here in the studio. So we really do appreciate and love all of the support that you guys put out there, even if it is just to, you know, you don't maybe want to hang out with us, but you want to hear about men's volleyball. We got a ton of that.
Oh, yeah. I'd laugh because it's so true. Like, you guys, we were all about the mini victories here, and we appreciate the little things because, yeah, our every time, like you said, we add a couple subscribers to our 300 and something now, we're like, wow!
I about did like somersalts the other day
when we surpassed the 300.
Yeah, because I came in here the other day and I was like, oh, we're at like 284. That's so awesome. And Koo is like, did you check this morning? It's at 302. And I about bounced off the walls. I think Michael can, confirm that. Either way, it's been very, very fun. Ooh, breaking news. Oh. The Browns and wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, to continue our NFL talk from before, have agreed to a 3-year contract extension worth up to $58 million, including $41 million guaranteed per Ian Rapoport and Tom Pelissero.
Interesting. Not bad, not bad. The deals just keep a wheeling and a dealing. All right, we didn't have much time, so we got to take our last break. But when we come back, promise, we will change to NCAA March Madness action, get you a little inside to our current brackets. At least I know mine's are going to change. I don't know about Paul's, but mine's will change by the time the tournament starts. But we'll take a look at just the men's bracket to start off with as it's March Madness, baby. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuhle Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Kuhle Ogbayani and Paul Brecht. All right, closing out the show, continuing the just NCAA March Madness action, taking a first look at just our men's tournament bracket. Important to note, too, because this kind of leads into, I think, the interest also that will be in the men's tournament this year, along with the women's, obviously, because like with Caitlin Clark. But I want to bring up the men just because I anticipate a lot of upsets to happen in this tournament. And then I go back and I'm like, well, there was a lot of upsets that happened in the conference tournament, so maybe things will correct themselves in the tournament. I don't know. It's one of those things where you can't overthink it. This was actually tweeted out by Sportico earlier this morning. Just the Big Ten Men's Basketball Championship. It was the most watched college basketball conference championship on any network in 3 years with 3.646 million viewers. And that was interesting, just considering that you didn't have the favorite that was Purdue, who got knocked out by Wisconsin in overtime. I was watching the end of that game in Vegas, and I was like, whoa, that just happened. And then you have someone that beat, like, the number one or the favorite, and then they get beat by Illinois 93-87. And then, it again, with Sportico, the second most watched tournament conference championship over the weekend was the ACC men with 3.2 million, which was another upset with NC State beating North Carolina 84-76. But North Carolina and Purdue, as expected and as they deserved, got number one seeds in the men's tournament, along with UConn getting the number one overall seed and Houston as well. So when you're taking a look at some of these matchups and the brackets, it's like that's all I feel like is that there are going to be upsets. Now, I immediately do have UConn to win it all, and they would be beating Purdue. I do think Zach Edey is still very much a dominant force, and it was just one of those things that Wisconsin was able to pull off, but the tournament is a different story. So, but I kind of just filled things out really, really quick, and I need to go back and kind of reorganize everything. But if there is any, I mean, I guess last year was kind of interesting because you had like San Diego State and stuff sneak in there. But at the same time, man, oh man, if there is a more fascinating year in men's basketball, it would be this year because there is no dominant team. Some of the usuals like Kansas, sad face. You guys know I've been saying it since after the Maui Invitational that this is probably the worst Kansas team that I've seen in a long time. So I'm not even sure if they'll make it past whoever wins the Gonzaga McNeese game, which McNeese was actually one of the upsets I picked in the first round.
McNeese State.
So I'm like,
I believe in Will Wade, their head coach. He is a great, great head coach. I believe he was at LSU. I don't know that for a fact where his last stop was, but I do know he's a really, really good coach. His team's 31-3. And something that I do look for a lot of times in those smaller conference champions is, do you know how to win? Because you can sit here and you can talk to me about, oh, there's talent discrepancy, there's size discrepancy, blah, 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 all of that stuff. And I will hear you out on all of it.
Yeah.
But if a team knows how to win, if a team knows how to win on the margins, if a team is a really good rebounding team, a team takes care of the basketball well, a team can shoot it pretty well, you know, those things translate no matter what conference you play in. I can't even say it. Will Wade, though, is a great coach, and I really believe in his team. I think they're going to go like a Sweet 16. They're my pick to go to like a Sweet 16.
You know, so I was thinking that too, because so they play Gonzaga in the first round, and then should they beat Gonzaga, they would play either Kansas or Samford. And like Paul just said, like, McNeese? Is it McNeese?
It is McNeese. I had to go actually
look
at it.
You threw me off that when you were like, Miss.
Dude, I couldn't just get the words out of my mouth. It wasn't even that it was like hard. It wasn't that I was reading it. I just could not get it out of my mouth. It was just my dumb brain.
So that it's interesting. So they would, you know, McNeese would move on, beat. I think they would have the potential to beat Kansas, as much as that pains me to say. But I feel like the worst Kansas fan. I'm just a realist when it comes to my teams that I'm so used to watching, you know.
And but you said that during when we were calling the Maui Invitational. That was something that you were saying about, like, this is a good Kansas team. This is not a great Kansas team. And you've seen great Kansas teams.
They just won a national championship not too long ago.
It was not them this year. Hunter Dickinson was good, not great.
Then he got injured.
Right. And it's all of those things. I actually do have Kansas losing.
So obviously my heart initially picked Kansas, but then now the more I think about it, this is why I have to go back and reconfigure everything. My brackets always change throughout the week until we get to the first game when everything locks. But yeah, but should McNeese move on, then they would face Purdue, which would be, and it would be hard again to pick against Zach Edey and Purdue in one of these situations. But Paul's giving me that face like he might actually do it.
No. I considered it greatly yesterday when I filled out my brackets. for a couple of reasons. One, Purdue always chokes in the tournament. They just do.
Yeah.
I don't know why. They are Gonzaga light. You know, they take a massive human being, put them in the middle, and then choke in the tournament. Happens every single year.
They didn't win their conference tournament either. So
exactly. And I love Zach Edey. I think he's a phenomenal player. I think he will continue to put up numbers. But also, here's the thing. He's 7'4".
Yeah.
And the rest of the team is also very, very good. I watched them here mm-hmm. at the Maui Invitational play a fantastic game against Marquette. And I did end up having them taken out.
McNeese.
Mr. Will Wade and McNeese.
I'm glad you bring up Marquette because I was actually going to talk about them after you were saying how McNeese, you know, you like teams that just know how to win. That's how I feel about this Marquette team being yep. coached by obviously a seasoned coach in Shaka Smart. I thought they looked phenomenal in the Maui Invitational as well, just because they're just ballers and they play like their coaches. Like, you can tell that Shaka is like, his energy feeds to his players and they just like punch and claw and everything. And they're just a team and they're quick.
They're hard nosed.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you very much. So I have them going pretty far. I have been going back and forth between Marquette and Texas Tech. But I'm leaning ever so slightly back to Marquette. So it's just one of those things because, again, I do think this is going to be a really funky, like, March Madness, especially in the men's tournament. I think the women's tournament will get a little dicey, maybe towards, like it always is in the, you know, maybe Elite Eight-ish. But for the most part, just the so far, if we look at what happened over the weekend with all of these conference tournaments, there were upsets galore. And I feel like it will spill into the men's tournament, which that is exactly why the fans love it so much, is because it tends to not favor the favorites.
It's unpredictable, and that is a big reason why we always see March Madness put up numbers, because everybody goes in thinking they have a chance. St. Peter's a couple of years ago, I don't even know anymore. There have been so many upsets in the past few years. Oral Roberts tossed in there as well.
Loyola Chicago, not too long ago.
And it's just, you have all of these teams who make their Cinderella runs, and it feels like we're getting a few more Cinderellas every single year now, and that's super exciting. I have a few in my brackets. Marquette is the team that ends my NC State love, I think. I believe quite a bit in momentum going into the tournament for March Madness. I think NC State winning 5 games in 5 days is very, very impressive, especially in the ACC. Mm-hmm. I have them making it to the Sweet 16 and then meeting up with Shaka Smart and those Golden Eagles, and that's where the buck stops for those for those puppies.
For the puppies. Looking over to a different region, we talk about the Big West champs. We didn't really mention them that much. You have Dan Munson essentially forced out at Long Beach State, and then his guys play for him, come up on top and win the Big West Conference Tournament. They have a meeting with number 2 seed Arizona, who it was another quote-unquote upset in the Pac-12 tournament. At this point, they could be the Pac West. Who knows? Yeah. So they will face each other in the first round. Now, of course, you know, normally it would be like Arizona, but if there's any matchup that I think Long Beach State might have a chance, it would be against Arizona, who the Pac-12, and it's just been kind of wishy-washy this year. And I want Dan Munson to win.
So I picked Arizona very quickly in that one,
yeah.
And I've continued to look at that matchup,
yes!
And I just don't feel good about it in my gut, because you're right. Those guys are playing for Dan, and it's just, and they have a couple of quality wins this year. So I don't know. Long Beach State could be a sleeper.
We'll see what happens, but my bracket will change. All right, but we got to go. We will talk to you guys tomorrow. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kule Ugbayani. Mahalo.